Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Friday to you, the 14th of February, 2020. Dusty here at Cam Cleland. Good morning, happy Valentine's Day.
You said that very awkwardly.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
Hey.
Becky.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Whoop,
gosh
whoop.
Dang, I woke up, my kids got me a card, chocolate-covered strawberries. I'm like, oh.
Wait, they did?
Yes. God, I woke up and I had like, the Valentine's Day card and I'm like, God,
wow.
Those little punks.
Valentine's Day, big deal in the Cleveland household?
No, it's just mostly my daughter. The boys are like, yeah, I'll sign a card.
Okay.
It's the daughter.
You'll get the daughters to do
that stuff and the wife.
As a whole,
happy Valentine's
is it a big
Day
deal?
Wife. Yeah.
You're calling her wife now. You used to criticize me for using
happy
wife.
Happy Valentine's Day. Significant other.
There you go. That's what I do. I just I got mine out of the way. Just sent my wife a text.
I did too.
Said,
she beat me to
Valentine's
it.
Day.
I'm like, oh. Send the mom a text.
You gotta
do everything.
Mom too. See,
all
it
the
is
ladies
a big deal
mostly,
in your home.
No, it's just you kind of you're just thinking. It's little things that count. Little small little things. I guess I got to get better at it, man. I got to get better. You do those things.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Valentine's Day, you need to be better? Need to be better on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I guess you do. Because sometimes you got to look at it and go, sometimes I need that little guy that sits on your shoulder, that little life coach.
The Great Gazoo.
Yeah, that kind of just makes you make the better decision half the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever find that it being a weird thing that Fred Flintstone had an alien sit on his shoulder and come visit?
Well, he floated above him. And he didn't sit on his shoulder. He had a huge head. Q-tip head.
But the Great Gazoo, he would land there every now and then, wouldn't he? On his shoulder?
I don't think so.
The Great Gazoo.
Was that when the Flintstones and the Jetsons met?
No. That was not. But it was in the exact same era. I mean, those cartoons are side by side with each other.
Yeah, I remember
Hanna-Barbera.
I remember Hanna-Barbera. I don't remember the Great Gazoo, though, being...
Oh, yeah, the Gazoo.
No, I don't remember him being in the same... I don't know, space as the Flintstones. I don't know.
You don't?
No.
Yeah, he was a Flintstones guy.
How? Like Cam said, how?
That's what I was saying is, wasn't that, like, that is a weird
This is very controversial this morning that you're not understanding this, Ryan.
It's an odd disconnect. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
he was an alien that came down and was part of, gave him those special things every now and then.
Yeah, aliens built the pyramids. Why couldn't they go and visit Fred Flintstone?
I'm all in on full alien conspiracy that we're here way here earlier. Way here earlier. All in on it.
All right. I'll subscribe. But that is that's the weird part. That's the disconnect from the Flintstones. It isn't that they had like a woolly mammoth as their shower or...
That all makes sense.
That totally makes sense. Okay. How they would just
At least
use
there was
animals?
Some continuity in the prehistoric universe.
I mean, at any point in time, I could go 100 miles an hour by using my feet with a rock tire.
Yeah.
With a rolling rock tire.
Well, and then they had like the whistle, the one dinosaur that yells like a pterodactyl or something.
Yeah. It was a rock quarry, and I lived in a rock. But carved out a rock.
But the Great Gazoo, that's a bridge too far for Ryan Buckley in his cartoons.
Well, yeah, we can't have things from the future. This is prehistoric era.
No, it's not. Alien. I mean, who's to say the Great Gazoo is from the future?
He could be anything.
He's just technologically
advanced.
Look at him.
He's from the future.
Well, he's actually he's a mini genie, is what he is. He's like an alien genie.
Oh.
He just popped up.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, I wish I had a little alien genie half the time that he could just, hey.
According to his Wikipedia, he was exiled to Earth from his home planet of Zetox.
Zetox.
Mm. Zetox?
Wow, who knew that?
That seems like that character was created by like one of the animators who'd gone to rehab and was in detox and was like, yeah, the Great Gazoo from Zetox.
The guy, nobody wants me around anymore. I'm going to make myself
he
a
He was
character.
Discovered by Fred and Barney Rubble when his flying saucer crashed, apparently.
See?
Betty or Wilma?
Betty.
Both pretty hot.
I mean, this is I don't know if this is controversial for
you.
I
like Wilma. She's a tall drink of water.
Yeah, but do you like redheads?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't got anything wrong with redheads.
Yeah. Definitely a Wilma guy.
Wait. Jane Jetson also redhead.
Jane?
Joan?
Yes.
Was it Jane Jetson?
She was also. Yes.
Or was it Joan? Yeah,
Joan,
I think you're
Joan,
right.
Joan.
Joan Jetson?
No, Joan Jett is a rock star.
Yeah, it is Jane Jetson. Yeah.
Meet George Jetson.
His boy, Elroy.
Daughter, Judy.
Daughter,
I don't know if they ever say mom's name, do
Jane,
they?
Jane, his wife.
Jane,
yeah,
his
they
wife.
Do.
Yeah, they do. It's Jane, his wife. They do.
Huh. Wow. She got last billing.
What do you mean last billing?
In the song, it went
she did
son,
well, the
dog,
most important.
Daughter.
The most important, save the best for last. You got to understand that. There's truth. Best for last. The wife's the best.
All right. Okay. Well, Jane Jetson it is.
Okay, this like important her. Thing, you said my disconnect was odd. Reception for the Great Gazoo. Because Gazoo was introduced to the show midway through the final season, it was considered to some to be an absurd character who alters the premise and dynamic of the show.
Mm.
So it's someone backed up your theory, Ryan, is what you said. You found a Wikipedia post.
That's right. And
regarding
it's Wikipedia,
your theory.
So like Michael Scott says, since anyone can edit it, you know it's the best information.
Must be true.
So it's basically, you could say they Great Gazooed it just as they say Jump the Shark. You know where Jump the Shark comes from, right?
The very next line says he's often cited by fans and critics of the show as being an example of the show's having jumped the shark.
Mm. Jump the Shark is from the show Happy Days. Where the Fonz is water skiing, and he jumps a shark.
Yeah.
And that's when people were like, all right, it's time for this show to end.
Yeah, they basically...
Why'd you say... Wait a minute.
That's where it came from.
I know
that's why Jump
know,
the Shark is something where like, okay, that's too far.
I understand
we're done
it.
With it.
I'm a big Happy Days guy, but come on, I know.
It's where I'm explaining where the term came from. That is not my own personal opinion.
I thought it was your also personal opinion, too.
Well, it is, because when you jump a shark on a water ski, because he's the Fonz.
He's the Fonz. He lived upstairs. Lived upstairs.
By the way, Fonz is 33. I'm not sure it's cool. You should be hanging around with these high school kids
it's
anymore.
It's the 50s, bro. Greasers.
Okay.
That's a look I could never pull off, was the greaser. I don't think you can be a bald redhead and be the greaser.
Can't well, you weren't. Have
Outsiders,
you been bald your whole life?
No. I didn't get bald till like midway through college, like third year in college. It was really bad. But yeah, it reminds me of like The Outsiders. I loved the movie The Outsiders. I wanted to carry, I carried a comb around in the back pocket. I always thought that I would carry this.
Really?
Yeah, I always wanted to have
Pony Boy Cleland.
I always wanted to, to have the, and you guys don't remember a movie called The Heavenly Kid where this guy comes back. It's a good movie. Classic movie. And the guy had the, what do they call the special hair where it's the duck where you comb it in and they comb the back in.
Yeah.
Is it called a duck something?
Duck butt?
Is it a duck tail?
Duck
something.
Butt.
I don't know what it's called.
I don't
but
know.
You grease it up front and then you feather it in and so it makes this like the back of it, and I tried to do that all the time. I couldn't pull it off. You know, nobody thinks of redheads as greasers. It's just we're screwed.
No, because
we're already Haskells.
Greasers are, you have to have dark hair.
You do have to have dark hair. And I had the leather jacket, and I'd wear white, and I had the Chuck Taylors. And then I always wanted to carry a switchblade around, but my dad's like, you're not carrying around a knife. Although really? He always had a pocket knife with
him. Yeah, I was going to say, that was no, one he of the had things one, he always remembers.
No,
dad
he had the,
knife.
Like, the pocket knife. He's like, you're not carrying around a flipping switchblade, you idiot.
Did you own a switchblade?
I still have it.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, I still have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about a butterfly knife?
Oh, yeah, I had a butterfly
knife. Butterfly knife?
Aren't those illegal now? Butterfly knives?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if they're illegal. I had buck knives.
I think they were.
I had, you
yeah,
know,
buck cute. Knife.
Oh, man.
I remember seeing several kids cut themselves with butterfly knives, though.
Survival knives. Remember the survival knives that had the compass on the top? And
yeah.
And he opened up, and he had, like, matchsticks in there and the mini saw, and he had the, yeah. And everything. He was like, boy, I could live outside forever with this knife. Taking it.
Did you?
Yeah, man. We went around and did everything I could.
Yeah. Now everybody
didn't know
has...
where I was in my compass. I put it in the ground. I was like, there's home. Oh, I can see it. It's north.
Remember like 5 years ago when parachute cord was a big deal? Like when Bear Grylls was popular, maybe yeah. Like 10 years ago now. But like everybody was like, hey, you need parachute cord to survive. And so people were in like parachute cord bracelets and always had to have some. It's like, wait a minute. If I ever get lost, there's no way parachute cord's going to be able to save my life. I don't know what to do with it.
It's much needed. I got something, both of you guys.
Okay.
How long would you survive in Naked and Afraid?
Mm.
How long do you think you could do it? Now,
36 hours.
The scenario is island heat, okay. Not cold, oh. Not rainy, cold rainforest. Island heat. Mm-hmm. Island heat. So we're talking Caribbean.
Bugs,
snakes, spiders, massive amounts of probably you're going to have to forage. There's not a lot of animal wildlife on the island, so you're going to have to do everything you can.
Yeah,
you're
going to have to kill a snake and eat it.
You're going to have to fish also. How long do you make it?
That day.
Yeah, I was going to say 36 hours. A day and a half, producers come get me.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be some macho man.
If my life depended on it.
If you were paid to do it, how long do you think you could do it?
No, that sounds miserable. Sounds miserable. But like, honestly, I get it. People love that kind of stuff. That sounds like hell to me.
Hmm.
So I'm going a day. I'd go a day and be like, I'm
about
out.
36 hours. That's your staying point.
I mean, I think I could last longer than that, but I kind of don't want to.
If you were paid to do it, could you do it?
Yeah.
It's 24 days.
I thought it was 21.
There's no chance in hell I'm lasting that long.
It was 21, 22 days. 20 days.
Even so, in that stretch, that seems difficult. I mean, I've watched a number of those episodes where they have the issue of just like keeping a fire going or of having a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not good at either of those things. So
your survival skills would be ranking in the
my survival
under
skills
20%.
Are already poor, and therefore I can't. I would need my partner to be very good at the whole survival thing.
True. Mm-hmm. All right. I appreciate the honesty. At least I know who I'm not taking on my survival group.
That's cool.
I would believe that I would be eating Buck first and Ryan first.
Yeah, Dusty's probably a little more gamey than I am.
Yeah,
but
that's true. These things are all true.
If you keep the fire going, though, I'll cook the meat.
All right.
I'll cook the Dusty.
You bring your skills.
Wait, what?
That's true, Ryan. The flies he can't over cook, here. So we're eating Dusty first. We're doing that. That's how it works. We're all on the island.
Buck's bringing his sous vide with him to the island.
If we're all three on the island,
outlet, you know,
who we eating first? I mean, it's all about your skills. You got to bring your sets of skills. I have a special set of skills. This guy just said he watched The Heavenly Kid. This is a great movie. I suggest you guys watch it. It's fantastic. It's a classic 80s. It's a wonderful 80s movie. Wonderful.
What was the first thing that you would do if you were on Naked and Afraid?
What's the first thing I would do?
Yeah, what's the first thing you do?
I would establish a base. And I would build I would establish an area, then I would build my shelter. Immediate shelter building.
Build a shelter.
Yeah, I would build a shelter, and I'd build it off the ground because I'd have to make sure I don't want to be around the bugs or all that stuff because you elevate it. So you got to be elevated, and I got to, you know, there's going to be a lot of ferns and stuff. I'd build a great shelter.
Bugs can't climb?
Correct. Find the proper tree shaded.
Bugs don't fly?
Shaded area. Well, no, they do fly, but you don't want to have anything slithering around you while you... While you sleep, you got to build your shelter.
What would be your one survival item? Because everyone gets to bring one thing with them.
It would be one of those hatchet. It's called an ultimate hatchet survival.
Okay.
So it has multiple tools built in it, but I doubt that they would allow that. So it would be one just thick Bowie knife.
Okay, yeah, I've seen them do
a
knife.
Start a fire with
I've
that?
Seen some people do the fire starter.
The flint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they let you bring a fire starter. I think they let you bring iodine tablets.
But if I have that knife, I can find a rock and I can create my own spark that way.
Hmm. Oh. Have you ever started a fire like that?
Yeah.
I never have.
Yeah. Man, I grew up in the country, man.
Me neither.
Although in kindergarten, I got in trouble for trying to get a group of friends to try to do that on the playground together. We tried to make fire. The teacher's like, you can't just make fires out here. That was the last time I tried to make a fire.
You didn't try to burn ants and start fires?
On the playground?
Oh, no, I did that. On the playground all the time. We'd take pieces of paper out there and like post-its, and they'd be like, oh, steal the day, and start light fires with the ants. And look how I did that.
Yep.
Do it all the time. I don't think you can do that now.
My sister had really thick glasses, and I tried to light our... The dumb kid. I tried to burn a little hole in our deck with her glasses.
I thought you were about to say I tried to light our dog on fire. No, that's where I tried to light our deck, and I'm like,
It was our deck. I had like the little beam going in, and luckily my parents came out because that would have been a terrible idea. It was starting to get hot. Okay.
Well, at least you guys didn't light the girl's hair on fire in front of you in speech class.
You're just trying to get close.
That one still gets me.
Yeah.
All right, 55305. That is the text line.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'm trying. Not like CJ. That was her name. Her name was Jennifer. Her name was Jennifer.
Do you ever have you ever caught up with Jennifer and see how she's doing?
Not in a while. Probably should.
All right. It is Friday, which means it's Q&A day. What?
Buck.
What?
You see what trailer dropped today, this morning?
Dude.
No.
Yes. It might be on Netflix, and it might be an 80s television show.
Stranger Things?
Yes!
Wow, already?
Stranger Things 4!
I feel like that just happened. Wow, okay.
Just dropped! Hopper's alive. Oh, I just ruined it. Sorry, it's in the trailer. I ruined it for all of you! Sorry, 6:18.
It 6:18, is Friday.
I'll do Dusty's job. 6:18 on the fan.
It is Friday, Q&A day, so get your questions in, 55305, Valentine's Day, and Would You Rather coming up. Now do the time check.
6:18 on the fan.
Valentine's Day bump backs, huh? All right, we do have new Stranger Things trailer coming up. When does it say it's coming out, though? Do you see at the end of that?
Well, I've seen it both on Instagram and on Twitter, so it's on both. But I don't see a date. I don't see a date in the headline at all.
Well, that's dumb.
Why not?
Give us a date. They got to start pumping that show out faster, though, because those kids are getting too old.
Well, everybody gets old. Dur.
Well, no S, but part of the allure is that they are kids fighting these beasts.
So like,
it's not going to be as cool or cute, and it'll just be scary. If it's adults doing it.
So do you feel that way with sitcoms? When the kids get older, it's not as good?
Modern Family, 100%. Yeah. Kids got too old and you're like, doesn't really work anymore.
So even when Who's the Boss, you know, and Alyssa Milano grew up, you were like, oh, this got better.
Well, no, but that wasn't about, the kids weren't playing such a prominent role.
Oh, all right, okay.
You know what it's like, if she would have been like 27 and living at home, we ought to have been like, okay, this is weird. You know,
you didn't have a crush on her.
Did have a crush on her, but it would have been weird as a premise of the show.
Very specific. Okay. All right.
I don't think that's specific.
I don't mind that these kids are getting older. I think every year it kind of changes the dramatics of it and the ingenuity of how these guys and the filmmakers, they could probably make 10 years and then they could have kids. Like the kids could have kids and their kids are in the upside down.
I don't think that would happen.
You just keep going.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
As long as Winona Ryder is like the old grandma.
Mm-hmm. That's weird to see her that old, you know?
So they started filming season 4 on January 7th of this year. They will end filming on August 5th of this year.
Okay.
They will be expected by hopefully Christmas.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That's good. Christmas present. So
that's like a year.
Yeah. That is so fast.
What a great
tease. To edit an entire season of a television show. Wow.
Okay. What an awesome time.
Excuse me.
You all right?
No.
You okay?
No. Right. Hold on.
Oh, you're going to keep going? We'll just talk about Stranger Things about that.
Hold on.
We'll do that. We'll be all right. It's happy Valentine's Day. It's all right.
On Valentine's Day, how about we talk about Dame's groin?
Yeah, I heard Stephen A. Smith this morning. He was on with Golic and Wingo. He said he believes that Dame should just tough it out.
And that's what he said.
Yeah. He said if he can stand up and perform Dame Dala, then he should be able to just tough it out.
Oh, if he can stand up and sing?
Well, he's not singing, he's rapping.
Yeah, whatever.
Perform. I would say perform.
Okay, if he can perform, he can play.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm summarizing.
Way to go, Stephen A., because that's exactly who Damian Lillard is. He's going to do that. 1 to 2 weeks, groin strain, MRI said.
Negative.
That's actually best case scenario, is a groin strain after watching him leave with just under 4 minutes to play two nights ago. And so he's out 1 to 2 weeks. And I would venture to guess the Blazers are going to be pretty careful with him. If he's out 2 weeks, that's four games. If he's out a week, that will be first game back is a week from today from the All-Star break. So he'll be good to go. And all things considered, I think Blazer fans, you'll take that. They will probably be more cautious with him than any other player on this roster. And they've got a lot of injuries and a lot of guys that they're being cautious with. You have to be cautious with Damian Lillard, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think you have to be cautious. He'll do it on his own. At this point in his career, I think he understands that I can't do any good if I'm injured. I bring no value. Even if I push through it, I'm risking not only the rest of his career, he's risking making it more serious, and that doesn't help him. So I think he understands that. He's a smart, intelligent man.
But here's the problem with the Portland Trailblazers right now is that is a slippery slope, because for this team to be a playoff team, Dame has to be like a 35 to 40 point per night guy.
Yeah, well, that's not sustainable.
Well, but that's what they need. If they want to be successful and be at a playoff caliber team, that's what they need right now from him. When you don't have Collins, Nurk, or Hood.
So let's be okay with that.
And so how cautious are you if that's what it's going to take to make that push? You know, there's being cautious, and then there's is he going to be at that peak that we saw for this 12-game stretch before the All-Star break?
Yeah, the only thing I can ask is that, I mean, you got to be okay with it. He's going to do it. Just trust Dame. Trust what he wants to do, and he's going to give it to you every single night. He's not going to back off. If he wants to give 35 to the point where his body breaks down, then I'd be thankful I was here to watch him for those 7 years that he's been given it. Mm. I got no problems with it, but I just want to see that this organization goes all in the next 2 to 3 seasons, and that means all.
It's
everything you can, and I know their roster right now is the highest paid, and I know what you got to do, and Whiteside, and all these other things. I don't have the answer. That's why I'm sitting here. If I had the answer, I'd be sitting in Neil O'Shea's seat.
Well, they've been slashing payroll, so that's good. And then we'll have some space coming up in next offseason. I saw Bleacher Report, one of their NBA writers, had the most attractive free agent places for 2020. Portland, number 9, just behind Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, cool. You have one of the best players in the league, and you're the 9th most attractive place.
You're not surprised by that, are you?
I am, because they're usually not even in the top 10.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're all right. You're on the reverse surprise. I thought you were going to say, it should be higher.
They're never in the top 10.
Okay.
It's actually a good thing they're number 9, but that's one of those I'll buy it when I see it type deals. But all things considered, Dame getting a groin strain, hey, you'll sit there and go, that's optimistic, 1 to 2 weeks, and we'll see how he does over the course of the weekend. And how many people are going to be judging the way he's moving on stage tomorrow when he performs at the All-Star festivities?
Probably.
Like, ooh, look at the way he was swaying back and forth. Dame will be back by Friday.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of that tomorrow.
Right. Just like you're not working out unless you post it on your social media.
That's right.
You're not exercising.
Ooh, along those lines, LeBron James, physical freak.
He's the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
We have to bring up what Tristan Thompson said about him at some point in the show. Because what Tristan Thompson told The Athletic is stunning when you think of LeBron James in the kind of physique that he has. We have that still to come in the show. Plus, some NFL chatter, our weekend Would You Rather. But coming up next, it is our Q&A. We do it every single Friday.
I got a big question for all of you.
Ooh, perfect. You've got questions, we got answers. Could be football, baseball, basketball, or Valentine's Day, life-related. Any questions? We've got answers. 55305. First is Ryan Theodore Buckley with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here. Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text on.
Hey.
What?
Question.
Okay.
Right here.
It's our Q&A time, so yeah.
Question is it. Right here. 55305. It's right here. What? How do I get to be a P1? You're one. You're it. That's it. That's how you do it. You are. You're listening. Put the program one button.
Mm-hmm.
You're there. That's how.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be a P1. You're automatically. And then you can just sign your name. P1 whoever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
There you go. That's actually a very good question and a good answer.
Do I get a good answer?
Good answer. Good answer.
Thank you.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Here's one. It's our Q&A section of the show, so text us at 55305. Have either of you ever pulled or strained your groin, and what does it feel like? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have strained it. It feels like somebody is, every time you have like a lateral movement, move side to side, it feels like somebody is like kind of jabbing you with a needle right in the groin area.
The groin area is the inside part of your legs, if you didn't know. You have the quadricep, and it runs along both inner parts of your legs. I just didn't know if anybody needed to be explained to it. I like, look at it like this.
Testes up to your hip bone.
Yeah. I always try to describe it as best I can as, can you imagine a rubber band, the thick rubber bands that you have? Take that rubber band, put it in the freezer, and then try to stretch it. That's what it feels like to have a pulled groin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it is locked down, and it hurts, and it's rigid. And it's very uncomfortable, stiff, and then you just can't move. It's like you try to take that rubber band after you stick it in the freezer for like an hour. It's swollen. It just doesn't do it.
And
it
playing basketball is damn near impossible to do.
Yeah, you got lateral movement, backpedaling. The most groin pulls for any position in all of sports is the groin for the defensive backs.
Yeah. And playing defense in basketball. I mean, think of like the worst pain is like when you try to open up your hips and step backwards. Like that is brutal when you have a groin injury. So that's what Damian Lillard's facing right now, and that's why you could see him just like he just stopped and he wanted to kind of pinch his hips in together, because any type of opening up your hips really hurts in that groin area.
Here's my question of the day.
Okay, what's
it's non-sports related, but I'm just taking it there anyway. We've had a lot of things that have happened. Now, you brought to my attention something that was on social media, but that's not what I'm talking about, which I think is worth bringing up later about a football play
that
is taking over. So I'm going to let you announce that one.
This
is different. This is another social media thing that has taken over our space and our world. If you're on social media, you do that. And I want to know, who are you with? There was a post. And I understand that this is like you're either on one side or not. I don't know if you're with both sides on this one. But I want to ask the P1s out there and anybody listening, and even within our show with you and Buck, are you with the guy that's tapping the seat? Or are you with the lady that leaned her seat back? Who are you with? Because if you don't know, you need to crawl out from under your rock a little bit or get a social media, because there was a clip of a man that was on the last seat on an airplane, and the lady in front of him reclined into his space, which we all know the space. He can't recline. She can't. She goes back. He's tapping her seat or moving the seat.
Like a little rabbit punch.
Incessantly and asking her to move up. Who are you with? Are they both immature? Are they both? I mean, who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? And which side are you on?
She was videotaping him because she was like, this guy's so rude. I'm going to expose this guy. And it is really a split. It is half and half. Of guy's a hero, guy is the worst person ever. And it should be noted here in this, the man is sitting in the very last row of the airplane,
which
he cannot recline his seat.
Yeah.
He does not have the space to recline his seat, and she reclines back. So there is no way he can get back any further from it.
Yeah.
So then he just continues to tap. What I don't understand is did he just start with the rabbit punching, or did he ask her and was she rude in saying, no, I'm going to recline my
seat?
So
you need more context.
A little bit, because, I mean, if he just automatically started punching, then he's kind of a jerk, and he's kind of a jerk anyways, but I don't blame him for it because I'm not a seat recliner.
I'm not either.
I'm not a seat recliner because
Nor am I.
There isn't enough room for the seats to recline.
The real loser here is humanity. Be adults and figure it out. Like, there are so many solutions here. Have somebody who doesn't have longer legs switch seats to be behind the person who needs to recline. Ask politely. Find another seat to move to. There are ways to get around this that doesn't require someone videotaping, someone punching them behind because they couldn't get over a seat dispute. It's kind of pathetic.
But aren't we not surprised that on an airplane that any of this stuff is happening?
If I was forced to make a decision, is he a hero or a villain? I would say he's a hero. If I am forced to make that decision, without context here, I stand with seat punching guy.
I will say villain because he couldn't find a way to use his words.
What if Ryan that he did tap and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry that I can't recline and my legs are smashing. Would you mind moving?" And she just went, "Sorry, deal with it." And then that's when it started. Yeah. Then what would you say?
I'm taking no context.
It's not working
into this.
Clearly.
I'm taking no context into this at all.
I'm saying
with just the video. In that, knowing what I know of recline back, he's in back row, I'm going hero.
I don't know that he asked nicely first.
Well, obviously. Okay,
well, I know.
You don't know that. Stop thinking that.
So I'm assuming he's just being a jerk punching the seat.
Okay.
Okay, so
he's a villain.
Yeah.
And I'm a long-legged individual. I hate it when people recline on me, but I don't just start punching their seat.
It looked like he had a little bit of a belly, and it looked like his tray table may have been going into his little belly there, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Put your tray table up, pal. Not all of us are equipped for that.
How's he going to watch his Netflix on it?
I feel like this is the dress blue or is it white thing. This is that stupid.
Well, it's half and half.
I know it's half and half, and either way, whatever side you're on, it really is. I think they're both clowns, to tell you the truth, but you could probably deal with it. But I've been in both scenarios, but I have never reclined on somebody without either going back saying, "I'm sorry, would it be okay if I went?" And they said, "Well, I'm," and I said, "No problem. I would," and I immediately, and I don't recline, but I've had massive amounts of people know that I'm a big dude right behind you, and they just laid it back into my face.
Only recline without asking if I can see the person behind me is already reclined. Otherwise, I will ask regardless of who is behind me, is it okay if I put my seat back?
Yeah, I've always asked.
I just don't do it.
You just don't do it.
You just do it. Just don't do it.
Okay. All right. That was my question.
We're kind of split on the text line as well. 55305. Somebody saying this is a ripple effect. What if the seat in front of her reclined and then she is then reclining?
Dominoes.
This is what's happening.
Domino effect.
Yep.
Ripple, domino.
55305. That is the text line. We've got texts coming in. It is Q&A. You got questions? We've got answers. 55305. I've got one. And it relates to a recent local news piece. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. P1 Social Q&A. It is 6:49. 55305. P1 Anthony. Payback is a B. What's your proper retribution for biker bro? We discussed this yesterday morning to kick off the show. Mm-hmm. The cycle gang has returned and they're moving our planter boxes. And I don't know what proper retribution is. Maybe in the 8 o'clock hour, we bring in Engineer McGinley and let him go off for a little bit.
I said small tack strips is totally fair.
Okay.
Not enough to pierce the shoe or the skin, but enough to cause small leakage.
So Sparta pit, not...
Yeah, not a Sparta pit. Anymore. Sparta pit would be a little bit aggressive, but tack strips that will cause small leaks consistently in their tires.
Maybe banana peels like Mario Kart?
Oh, see, that would cause injury. That would cause injury. We don't want to cause injury. We just want to cause inconvenience.
Doesn't on Mario Kart. Well, they just spin out harmlessly to the edge. 55305. That is a text line.
Wait, so if I'm just catching up here, Razor Wire is out then.
Razor Wire is out.
Probably
got it.
Out.
Yep. It is out officially. So is any sort of trip line or any cord going across. But a fence may be going up with maybe a gate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Do something like that.
I could see that. Yeah. A gate.
A little fence with a gate.
Big deterrent.
Because that'll make you like get off of your bike at least.
Yeah. But there is a fence around the outside right over there. Or the hedges. What? They're I would call that a vegetation fence. That's kind of what you do, a separator.
Okay. It's not stopping anything right now.
No, it's not. Very petty. Very petty by biker community.
It really is.
Very, very petty.
We just don't want to hit them with our cars.
Yeah. I just want to stop them from potentially being injured.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. We were talking earlier in the week about Concordia University shutting down. Mm-hmm. And this just popped into my head. If you are on one of the basketball teams, it's just good. Like, it's going away. Everything's going to be done. Do you just say, like, F it, I'm going to get mine the rest of the year?
No.
Why not? You're not really playing for a team anymore. You're just gone.
I look at it like this. Okay, you want to be full philosophical or the fun, jokey manner?
Well,
full
fun. No,
my mindset would always say is somebody's always watching. So I'm auditioning at any point. I'm auditioning for when I put myself out there. If I look at that, you're auditioning for another team. You're putting yourself on film. Are you a selfish guy or you're a team guy? So really depends on how you look at it. So you never know who's watching. So do you always, especially when you're an athlete out there and you're in the stands or if you're at a job interview down the road, you'd be like, I love that kid or I like that individual. You never, ever know. And that's a hard thing to deal with sometimes. But I think at those points, those guys are now auditioning for other teams and other potential universities if they want to continue their career.
Just fill it up then. Take those shots. Yeah. Get your buckets. Get your numbers up.
Whatever way you can.
I just looked up their record. They are 3-20 this season. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's too bad.
Not good at all. All right. 55305. Q and A. You know what is coming up a lot now, right now on the text line, is a lot of theories about what is happening. And Bazooka Joe, you brought up the question of, is the guy who punched the seat in the right or in the wrong on the airplane video when the lady reclined? And Bazooka Joe brings up a good point. He says, I think the real villain in this situation might actually be the airplane company. You can't reasonably recline because seats are so squished together, yet they provided the option. It's uncomfortable to be straight up 90 degrees for hours on end. They're asking for this situation, I think. That's a really good point. And do you remember when airplanes used to have bigger seats? Because they used to.
Yeah, it's all about dollars. You got to fit them all in, squeeze them all in, inches, inches, inches.
And you used to get like full meals on every single flight.
Now they charge you an extra $100 for 6 inches of legroom.
I love the meme out there that says
extra class.
It has like the people sitting there and they're eating a full meal, enough space in between them, like every row is first class. Mm. And the meme says, "Can you imagine what flying in 2020 is going to be like?" And then now we're all just scrunched together.
Smashed.
And you're like a cattle call.
The greatest
flying
ever commercials
great.
Ever was the Alaska Airlines in the 80s and the 90s when they said what the cattle call would look like. They said, oh, this is what other airlines do. They smash you in where your hands are above the seats, your faces. And and they charge you to go in the bathroom and they give you crappy food and all of that. Never foresaw. Remember when it was going on an airplane, you dressed up. My dad used to tell me you dressed up. You looked like it was a big deal. You look now, walk in, and you just... not even taking showers. There was a couple.
Go for comfort.
Did you see the couple that took headline news that got kicked off the flight because their body odor was so bad? People are complaining because they had, I think they were Jewish Orthodox, of sorts, if I remember correctly, the story. Their family, they were saying, their claims were that everybody, when they got in, was so offensive, the body odor smell was so offensive, they asked them to get off the airplane. And then they ended up saying, here, we'll pay for your hotel and give you another flight. The smell has to change.
Yeah.
And then they did a whole story on it. And I went, holy smokes.
Well,
this is where we're at.
You can refuse service, can't you? I mean, without being discriminatory, because this is like, all right, there's one thing to not use deodorant. Right?
Well,
that is correct.
Well, how many times have you had BO and you can't really tell how you smell? I mean, you can tell,
I mean,
but you can't really
extent,
tell.
But here's the thing is that, like, although you don't use deodorant, you do remedy that by cleanliness.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that for the other 150 people on the plane, isn't that something that you sit there and you're like, please, we just want a respectfulness.
Yeah, I mean, you're in an enclosed space, and I'm not expecting everybody to be perfect. And that That smell must have been extremely pungent for everybody to be upset.
Absolutely.
And then for flight attendants and for an airline to actually go after that and do that.
And pay for a hotel for them?
Yeah, it must have been. So I can't. Do I think it's right or anything? I'm not here to judge that. But this is, I mean, you're going on an airplane with a bunch of people. I don't know what you're going to expect.
I'm not here to judge, but let's get into this here.
No, I'm not here to judge, but I don't walk into an airplane and expect everybody to be perfect, one, in a great mood, two, and smell great, three, when I go on an airline flight. I'm just like, this. I'm going from point A to point B.
I remember there was
just in a different time.
Where was we going to? We were coming back from San Diego.
Now, courtesy. I expect a basic courtesy. How about that?
We were coming back on a flight from San Diego when I was in my mid-20s, I think. And so I was a little hungover getting onto the plane. And I walked right on the plane. Lady and guy sitting in the first row when you get on, not first class, but the first row of coach, they were eating curry. And that is just a pungent smell. Like, if you bring on a food onto a plane, it better not be a fish or a curry. It was just like you walked on the plane, you went, whoa.
Yeah, that's an epic fail.
And I almost threw up. I was a little hungover. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long flight anyways. And then I got on and I was like, oh, so.
Plain etiquette, man.
Don't bring any pungent food on. But that one was just brutal for me.
What about the SPDs that fly around in the airplane?
SPDs? What's an SPD?
SBD.
Oh.
SBD. SBD.
A silent SBD. But deadly fart?
Yeah. What about those? How are you feeling about
it's
that?
It's like an SPD.
SBD, not an STD.
Or P. B.
BD. SBD. How are you feeling about those ones? Because you've all done it.
Nobody wants to do it. Like, nobody wants to fart on a plane. Nobody wants to. Sometimes it happens. It's natural.
Just hits you like a slap in the face. You're like, oh!
It absolutely does.
Slaps you right in the face.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you just kind of look around on who it could be. And it may just be me, but I try to look around and figure out who it is. And then the person that it is the least likely, I always pin it on them. I'm like, it's probably them. It's probably that old grandma over there.
Right.
She probably just let that one loose. She doesn't give a rip. She's old. 55305. That is a text line. We got a lot of texts coming in. Q&A. Keep them coming on the fan text line. 55305. Could be sports. Could be anything. Coming up next hour, a viral clip that is making its way around the internet and what that means for the game of football. Plus some NFL news and notes. A little bit of news coming out. Hot and cool is next on the fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.